I'm Steve Potter, and still to come on Cityscape, artist Wanju Lim will discuss her exhibition at the St. Louis Art Museum, which opens today. April is National Poetry Month, and the St. Louis Poetry Center recognizes that with a reading this Sunday, Dylan Thomas celebrating the Bard's centennial. Teresa Doggett is an actress and costume designer here in town. John Dressel is a poet. They'll both be presenting the work of Thomas along with several others, and we welcome you both to Cityscape.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dylan Thomas is one of those, I think even if you're not interested in poetry or don't know his work, you certainly at least know his name. How significant a poet was Dylan Thomas?
I think pretty significant in Wales. He added a voice to the world that suddenly everybody knew where Wales was. And, poetry just speaks to the common man, I believe. Yeah.
I think in Wales he's certainly regarded as the most, with one possible rival, the poet called R.S. Thomas, as the most significant and challenging poet to write in English in the 20th century. Of course, there's this parallel tradition in Wales in the Welsh language. He has an international reputation. Some critics regard him as perhaps the greatest lyric poet of the 20th century period. His works have been, widely translated into other languages. And in his own lifetime, he was internationally known. He made four reading trips to the United States, for instance, on the last one of which he died in New York City.
Yeah, you talk about his life. Yeah. He was born in Wales in 1914, as you say, died at the age of 39.
That's right.
He was very prolific during his short lifetime. Why don't we get things started with his own voice? We have a recording of his reading from a part of his poem, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. What can you tell me about that before we listen to it?
Well, that poem was, it's a very complex form called the villanelle, in which you have two rhyming lines that end each of the first five stanzas and then become a rhyming couplet in the poem. It's a very, kind of complex form. But it was written with his father in mind. His father was dying of cancer and was also going blind, so that the do not go gentle into that good night has a kind of a double meaning. It's referring to death, of course, going into that good night, but also to losing one's sight. And in the closing lines, he addresses his father directly, and you, my father, there on that sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. His father died in 1952, not long after really Thomas had finished this poem.
Let's hear from the poet.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight, and learned too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now, with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
That's poet Dylan Thomas. His work is being celebrated as part of National Poetry Month with a reading Sunday at Dressel's Public House in the Central West End. We're talking with Teresa Doggett and John Dressel. And Teresa, I can't help but notice. Somehow his accent and your accent are similar.
Well, actually, I'm always surprised when I hear Dylan Thomas's voice because he doesn't have a natural Welsh accent. He has a very English or anglicized accent, which is what I have. But whenever I go home, I'm struck how strong the Welsh accent is in the south of Wales. It's a very lyrical, very musical sound.
But you were born in Wales. And
I was born in Wales. And
how long have you been here? What brought you here?
I actually am a research scientist at WashU. Oh. And so I came over to study science.
Interesting. And John Dressel, I think you had a set of grandparents from Wales.
That's right. Both my mother's parents were born in Wales, and they came over, came to the United States in 1895. My grandfather was a steel worker. There was a great kind of wave of emigration of Welsh steel workers to this country in the 1890s because the U.S. Congress had passed a set of restrictive tariffs on various products, including Welsh tinplate, which threw a lot of skilled workers in Wales out of work. So he wound up over across the river at the Granite City Steel, finally.
So for both of you, Dylan Thomas is close to your heart for those reasons, right?
Yes, I suppose. For me, one of the reasons I know Dylan Thomas is my father sings in a male voice choir in Wales. And one of Dylan Thomas's poems, Reverend Eli Jenkins' Prayer, has been set to music. And it's a staple of male voice choirs to sing it. And it's one of the first things I remember my father singing in the choir. So that's how I came to know Dylan Thomas.
Well, would you both share part of Dylan Thomas's work with us, something that means something to you?
Certainly.
Sure.
Yes.
Actually, I have the Reverend Eli Jenkins prayer, and I read that for you. Every morning when I wake, dear Lord, a little prayer I make. Oh, please to keep thy lovely eye on all poor creatures born to die. And every evening at sundown, I ask a blessing on the town. For whether we last the light or no, I'm sure is always touch and go. We are not wholly bad or good who live our lives under milkwood. And thou, I know, wilt be the first to see our best side and not our worst. Oh, let us see another day. Bless us this night, I pray. And to the sun we all will bow and say, goodbye, but just for now.
What does that mean to you?
For me, it's someone who loves the place that he lives and just wants to enjoy and the people. And I hear my father's voice. It's really sad.
Wow. Dylan Thomas had an interesting life. Would you call it a volatile life?
Oh, indeed, yes. It's kind of ironic in a way. His personal life was, you know, quite volatile.
And tempestuous. Yet his
relationships, substance abuse.
Relationships, drinking, and irresponsible behavior of other kinds, you know, when he was on his reading tours and things like that. And yet he's the most disciplined of poets in terms of the tight structures and poetic forms within which he works. You know, there's quite a contrast between the kind of undiscipline of his personal life in many ways and the extreme discipline of his poetry.
So you mentioned the tours that he did here in the United States. Is that what really brought him to the forefront here in this country? Was his being here?
I think it must have had a lot to do with it, certainly, yes.
And we talk about his volatile life. He actually died during one of these tours. He ended up being in some sort of coma. Do they say it's due to his lifestyle, or does anyone really know?
Well, initially they thought it was certainly alcohol-related. He allegedly was at the White Horse Tavern in Greenwich Village, and he came back to the apartment where he was staying and told the woman who was hosting him that he had just drunk 18 straight scotches, and he thought that was the record. Now, the bartender at the White Horse says maybe it was 9 or 10, but not 18. But that was, what people thought at the time. There's been a lot of controversy in recent time. More research has been done. They think he may have been diabetic. Some of the medications that were administered to him in St. Vincent's Hospital in New York, you know, might have played a role in putting him into a coma and bringing about his death. And, But certainly he and particularly in his later years, he was known as a heavy drinker. So that's still, people, scholars and others, medical people, are still really looking into the whole phenomenon of the events surrounding his death, yeah.
Well, John, what would you like to share with us?
I'll just read a condensed version of the poem Fern Hill, which is one of his most famous poems, I think. There's six stanzas to it. I'll just read three of them, the first, second, and the last. It's about his spending his boyhood vacations on a farm of his aunt and uncle near the town of Carmarthen in southwest Wales. There's a college of the University of Wales in Carmarthen, and I was associated with it for 25 years in a couple of different capacities. And I lived in a little village 8 miles from Carmarthen, and to get back and forth every day, I had to drive by Fernhill Farm, so I feel kind of a personal connection with this place. I reckon I've passed it maybe 5,000 times. And so this poem is called Fernhill. Now as I was young and easy under the apple boughs about the lilting house, and happy as the grass was green, the night above the dingle starry, time let me hail and climb golden in the heydays of his eyes, and honored among wagons I was prince of the apple towns, and once below a time I lardly had the trees and leaves trail with daisies and barley down the rivers of the windfall light. And as I was green and carefree, famous among the barns about the happy yard, and singing as the farm was home in the sun that is young once only, time let me play and be golden in the mercy of his means. And green and golden I was, huntsman and herdsman, the calves sang to my horn, the foxes on the hills barked clear and cold, and the Sabbath rang slowly in the pebbles of the holy streams. Nothing I cared in the lamb-white days that time would take me up to the swallow-thronged loft by the shadow of my hand in the moon that is always rising, nor that riding to sleep I should hear him fly with the high fields and wake to the farm forever fled from the childless land. Oh, as I was young and easy in the mercy of his means, time held me green and dying, though I sang in my chains like the sea.
The St. Louis Poetry Center presents Dylan Thomas Celebrating the Bard's Centennial. It's a celebration of National Poetry Month, and this will be Sunday beginning at 4 p.m. at Dressel's Public House on Euclid in the Central West End. If you go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, you can get tickets online. There's also going to be a silent auction that's going to have some art and some poetry books, including some by Dylan Thomas and others. And if you go to the website, their website, there'll be some pictures of those things there you might want to take a look at. Why do you think that Dylan Thomas is a good choice this year to celebrate during National Poetry Month, Teresa?
I think it's a really great way of reintroducing people to Dylan Thomas. Like John says, there's something sort of so lyrical about the way that he writes, and it affects you in various ways. Just listening to John read, I just see this little boy running around in the dappled sunlight, you know, green and golden. It's something that people need to hear, and it's another way of enjoying literature. I'm sat here crying.
Well, John, you're going to be serving as MC, I believe, and in addition to you and Teresa, there are going to be some other readers. Maybe you'd mention them.
Yes, indeed. A good friend of mine, David Lloyd, who's director of the creative writing program at Lemoyne College in Syracuse, New York, is coming in for the occasion. He's an accomplished poet in his own right. He's won some national prizes here in the U.S., and he's also well-known in Wales. He's edited a number of anthologies of poetry which have been published in Wales. He's kind of an expert on English-language writing in Wales in the 20th century. And then a couple of representatives of the local St. David Society, which is the Welsh Society in St. Louis, are going to read. Ed Kosnikowski, who has a Polish name, but his mother was Welsh, and he was born in Wales. And Darlene Davis Sugarman, another person who's been quite active in the St. David Society. And then some representatives of the Poetry Center, David Brink, a local actor, and Glendale Wallace. And if I covered them all, I think so, yeah.
And, John, I should mention that you used to be the proprietor at Dressel's. I think your son runs it now?
Yes, that's right. My wife and I founded the establishment in 1980, and our son took it over in 2004. He is now the sole owner and proprietor.
So it's Dylan Thomas's work being celebrated Sunday at Dressel's Public House. And also, they would like you to get tickets in advance. So if you go to stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page, and go to their website, you can get tickets online. But if you show up at the door, that's okay, too. So we want to thank you both for being here, Teresa Doggett and John Dressel. And we wish you a very good month.
Thank you very
much.
Thank
you very much.
Coming up next on Cityscape, installation artist Wanju Lim. This is St. Louis Public Radio.